Hello, and welcome to Presenting, a podcast where we chat about various topics related to role-playing games, typically Paizo products such as Pathfinder and Starfinder, but also others. I'm John Godek, and with me today is Nicole Heitz. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to get to sit down and chat with you.
Yeah, no, this is exciting. So Nicole is a venture lieutenant and convention organizer for the Paizo Organized Play Online region, as well as a RPG freelance author. She's also a musical theater enthusiast and avid tabletop RPG player. She just recently wrapped up a short 4-session run of the Dune RPG and will be starting a Pathfinder 2nd Edition campaign this week run by Paizo's own Thurston Hillman called Bleakest Winter. So, Nicole, can you talk a little bit about what you do for Organized Play and how you got involved in that in the first place?
Yeah. So the volunteer aspect of Organized Play, which is primarily what I do, looks different for everybody. But I'll start with kind of how I got into it. And it coincided with the beginning of the pandemic. I had a homegroom game of Pathfinder First Edition we're getting into it, just getting into like the meat of the story, getting our characters to like 5th, 6th, 7th level where things are starting to get exciting. Mm-hmm. And like many home games do, unfortunately, it fell apart. It didn't work for everybody. And especially with the pandemic starting, we just decided to split and keep our distance and just, you know, keep in touch. But nobody was particularly interested in trying to take that game online. I had about a month to two where I was going through withdrawals, I say, on the tabletop RPG spectrum. And so I hopped on Google and I said, you know, can I play Pathfinder somehow online? Found out about virtual tabletops. And I ended up on this one website, pfschat.com, that took me to a Discord. And that ended up being the online regions Organized Play Discord, where I had some wonderful community members who helped explain the rules of Organized Play, how it kind of works in terms of making sure everybody's character is on the same page, not evil characters, you know, going around causing mayhem, since it's a living world.
Right. So that's interesting. So you 2 years ago, you just got started with Org Play, and now you're a venture lieutenant for the online region.
Yeah, it happened. It happened pretty quick. Here at the very end of January that we're coming up on will be my 2 years in Organized Play as a player, as a GM. And then in April is going to be my 2 years as a venture officer. It's been quite a ride. We've got a lot of conventions that I'm very happy to have had the opportunity to participate and volunteer for at various aspects. And we've got an amazing community in the online region of players, GMs. I think my favorite aspect about the online region is this sense of community. You know, you can hop on there with any type of question. And typically within 10 to 15 minutes, you'll have somebody that's in a discussion with you and helping you figure out an answer to what you're looking for.
And I'm curious. So I do some GMing online. I'm curious, which virtual tabletop do you prefer?
Well, they all have their own niche, their own pros and cons. I started on Roll20. That is probably what a majority of the community was using for the various Paizo games or D&D games, whatever you're going to be playing. But lately, the past year and a half or so, I've started switching over to Foundry. So that's kind of where I'm finding myself spending more time nowadays. It's great.
Yeah, I've been doing Roll20 for actually since before the pandemic, because I was doing some online stuff. And I tell you, I've been playing Foundry and I like it. I just haven't got around to setting up my server. I have a local GM who's promised to help me set up my server, because once I get my Foundry server set up, then I'll start running some Pathfinder. I usually do Starfinder right now. But it's like every time I look at it, it's like, oh, this just seems so complicated compared to all the stuff I have already figured out for Roll20. Tell me it's easy. Tell me Foundry's easy.
Foundry is just like Roll 20, if you think back, you had to start somewhere with it, and it becomes mm-hmm. second nature the more you work with it. And luckily, with especially Kali, the amount of Discord communities that there are,
right?
There's the basic Foundry Discord server. There's mm-hmm. a Pathfinder 2 specific Foundry server. One of our online lodges, Cadence Keg, is super mm-hmm. duper big into Foundry. They've also got our Fantasy Grounds crew kind of over there. Mm-hmm. I'm in the same boat about some things. So I just throw a question out into the wind, say like, hey, does anybody have any time? Or does anybody have any tips and tricks? And the community's fantastic about picking up and helping you get through that rut mm-hmm. if you get stuck there.
Now, did you set up your own Foundry server or do you use somebody else's?
So I haven't actually been running as many games. I have a Foundry server, but I've primarily been playing as we're trying out some different systems and spending some time working. But I do have one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, you know, I last year, actually, I'm thinking last November on Black Friday, they had a really good deal on their Foundry license. And so I got one. Mm-hmm. And here it is a year later, and I still haven't got it fully set up. So it's like, I need to get on that. I didn't know that Cadence Keg, that they were doing so much Foundry there. So I will definitely have to hit up folks for that.
Cadence Keg, they've got a convention that's actually happening this coming weekend. Mm-hmm. If you want to hop on and try games as a player, and then stick around for the conversation. We've got one of our other venture lieutenants for the online region, Redux, is a wizard when it comes to virtual tabletops. And mm-hmm. he has gotten me through so many little pickles with all mm-hmm. of them. And I'm sure we'll get you there as well.
Yeah, I've played a lot of Foundry as a player, and mm-hmm. I really like how it works for both Pathfinder and Starfinder. I just, you know, I tried to do the setup and on my own, and it wasn't, you know, it didn't immediately come out as intuitive as Roll 20. And so I kind of, okay, I'm not going to start doing games in it yet because I'm not ready. And that's kind of my goal over this winter, is to get that going. So.
Yeah, and I'm very much a visual person. So there mm-hmm. is a collection of videos that'll kind of walk you through it. And mm-hmm. I did a little bit of a peek-see. On-call GM Thurston Hillman was doing some campaign mm-hmm. prep on Twitch, setting up Foundry. And mm-hmm. I mean, that showed me things that I haven't even messed with yet. So getting to watch videos of other people going mm-hmm. through setting those up has been one of the more valuable things for me, for sure.
Neat. Well, that's some good advice. I like that. All right. What other conventions are coming up here besides the one you mentioned at Cadence Keg? Anything else big coming?
I think it's going to be a chill rest of the year. I think we all kind of deserve it. we've got some things coming up next year. We don't have anything kind of in the immediate future. In the online region, we've got kind of our Starfinder sister, it looks like, convention. It's going to be to Cadence Keg with the Cosmic Crit crew over there, mm-hmm. where we do a charity convention for Doctors Without Borders, which they raised, I think it was $6,567 last year for Doctors Without Borders. Nice. They're doing a fantastic job over there. And then we just, you know, keep an eye on the Paizo blogs for conventions coming up. I have done quite a lot. I think getting close to about a dozen conventions or so as a volunteer, whether it's an organizer or a headquarters person, in the past, you know, year and a half. So it's time to step back for a little bit and recharge while we're in this lull.
No, I think that's a good point. I'm not an official organizer, but I've organized a lot of games, and I've, you know, with the pandemic, I've actually done, like yourself, you know, probably 15 or 16 online conventions each of the last 2 years. And I've decided now step back a little bit from doing so much jamming and play a little bit more. That's been my thing. Just get a chance to play some.
Oh, absolutely. Play more games, whether it's, you know, organized play, whether it's adventure paths. I've really been into trying out different systems entirely lately.
This Dune. How was Dune?
Dune was a chaotic, enjoyable, funny disaster. But it was a good time. It was definitely a different system. Modiphius is the company that the Dune RPG comes out of. Mm-hmm. And it was a 2D20 system.
Wow. Okay.
So it's a little bit different than your standard, you would think, like D&D Pathfinder, Starfinder, with your ability scores 1d20 roll to mm-hmm. get the highest number. And you're rolling 2d20s and trying to get a lower number to match. And it's a system that's got worked in so that failures help you advance, which was super fun. So you're trying things that mm-hmm. maybe your character is specifically not good at. At one point in time, my character, I think the term was defeated. I played a Bene Gesserit over there who didn't quite sneak around as good as she wanted to, got defeated, but got some ability points to put towards some advancement. Of course, with the group we had, it was a good time. It was a blast.
Now, were you playing that as this latest movie came out?
We played it after the newer movie came out.
Okay.
So we did all have homework to watch it. a couple of us haven't, we haven't all read the books as much as, you know, we'd like to. And I need to. I've started it before, but I never finished it. So we'll add it back to the list. We watched the new movie, some of us a couple times. We watched the old, you know, cinematic masterpiece that is Sadie Sting. But it was a little bit outside of the scope of what you would think the traditional lore would be. We had a little bit of fun with it. We had a little bit of some like Mean Girls and Legally Blonde mixed in.
Okay.
Some musical theater, some musical interludes. It was a good time. It was fun.
Yeah, no, it sounds really creative there. That sounds way different than Dune.
It was way different than Dune. We had the basics that were set up in there, but that is my favorite part of tabletop RPGs, is mm-hmm. taking what they give you and using it as a tool to make mm-hmm. something better, make something that's catered to your group that you all really enjoy. If it's really deep diving into the lore and getting, you know, yourself in those lines in the trenches, mm-hmm. absolutely, by all means, please, like, go forth and have an enjoyable game. Mm-hmm. But if you want to bring a little bit of something silly, you know, a little bit of some hair tossing, you know, catty salon moments in there, mm-hmm. absolutely. You know, if that's what works for your group, if that's how you have the most fun, that's what it's all about.
Neat. Who was that a home game or an online game, or how was that run?
We actually ran Dune on Foundry, as we're all kind of separated, because Thurston, he's all the way up in Canada. Jenny Jarzabski and her partner are over in Seattle. And then we had the Wingbreaker, who lives in the internet. So,
So was Thirsty running it then for you?
Yes, Thirsty was the game master for that game.
Neat. I can, when you had all these different themes, I can picture that a lot better. Why?
Yeah, a little bit of chaos. He lets go on, but we're here for it. And it really was, we had the virtual tabletop that we mostly used for the dice and just kind of some visual aids. It's a completely different type of system where you don't have the standard grid map that your characters go on. It's very much an abstract kind of meta concept to how a lot of like the espionage types and encounters can happen. But it surely helped.
Yeah, neat. So how does one get into games run by Thirsty?
I guess it's just a group of friends that are kind of hanging out. Thurston he's done the Warhams group. They're getting prepared to do Rock Grind. But that's an entirely kind of separate entity. That's like their big production. Right. And I don't know how they get into things like that. This is just, you know, a group of friends. We hang out when we're not playing games, watch some, off the wall anime or sci-fi movie. Mm-hmm. And it's just a group of friends having a game.
So did y'all meet at conventions, given that you're all different places now? Jenny's moved, right? Obviously.
Yes. Jenny lives in the Paizosphere area.
Yeah. But I'm just wondering, so then all of you kind of met at some of the in-person conventions, or you just met online, or how'd that go?
So I have never played a society game in person, and I haven't met anybody from organized play in person, except for my venture captain, who lives somewhat locally to me. But it was various online communities, running around different conventions, running into them, and then just various, you know, project server or something maybe here or there, and just kind of organically formed.
Hey, so which region do you work out of? Oh, you're online. So
I am online. I did start geographically in the River region, which with some maneuvering around, it's no longer a region. And I made the transition online, which is felt like home because it's where I've always been.
Where is the River region? I'm kind of curious. Is that Pittsburgh area or...
So the River region is no longer its own region. It is now split up into Great Lakes, Midwest. Like the Missouri kind of centric. It was just a couple of states kind of along the Missouri and the Mississippi rivers.
Okay. Now, I'm curious because I know somebody who's a VC out there, and Jake Rennell, right? So he's a VC in the St. Louis area. And I thought, was that the River region? I don't know. So, all right.
It was right about there. Yep. St. Louis was held by the Great Lakes with their RVC. Since the dissolution of the River region, they've put St. Louis back with Missouri, probably much to their chagrin. I don't blame them. Missouri is an interesting state, and now they are with the Midwest region, kind of leading a little bit northwest with them.
Yeah, because I'm not a VO or anything, I don't know all the different regions and stuff. I just know people, and they say, "Oh, I do this, I do this." Okay. I guess that's where that is. So,
and much like our living campaign, our living regions, they fluctuate and they change, and it's ever evolving, ever growing, ever mutating in its own ways, so to speak.
Now, the online region has probably grown quite a bit, though, right? Since the pandemic, or
oh goodness, yes, it. It was showing steady growth, I mean, for years. So I've just recently, within the past couple of years, come into the online region. And everything that we have goes to all of the venture officers that have been working for the better part of a decade getting everything set up. They, to the best of my knowledge, well before my time, when I was just a wee lad, they were on like Google meetups and things like that. And that's how they had the online region. And about 2017, I believe they switched over to Discord. And we have growing lodges. Cadence Keg is one of the new lodges that we have. They just started earlier this year. They have, I mean, we've got the Cosmic Crittermanders, we've got Glass Cannon, and I won't, you know, continue to go on Roll for Combat, et cetera, et cetera. But we are still seeing steady growth. Our main lodge has, you know, over 6,000 members. Wow. And it's crazy to see like the amount of community members. And some of them, you know, take time away from organized play and they come back and we're right here. And, you know, that's awesome that it can be just set up to be in a place like that. But yeah, we're continuing to grow. We're continuing to get a couple of awesome new venture officers when somebody rotates out or when we have a new lodge that we take on board. And especially, I want to say, I really noticed the uptick since my tenure started, when the first PaizoCon online happened. And that convention was made by the online venture officers that came before me. The amount of work and the the amount of just knowledge into how everything works that they put through and passed on, it's left a legacy, I think, in our organized play community as a whole. We're seeing a lot of that leak into like digital spaces of other geographical regions. But I think that is really when we started to see this new push for players and for people online. We had a whole bunch of acquisitions, and then the first Gen Con online happened, and we got a whole bunch of new community members. And it's just kind of starting to feel second nature for being online for some people who have been in person. And of course, they're in IRL lodges are going to be waiting on them whenever it's safe and comfortable for them to go back, but they'll always have a place with us. Everyone's welcome in the online region.
Well, neat. Well, let's change gears a little bit. How'd you get started in freelancing?
An email off into the wind that I didn't expect to hear anything from, to be honest. I have always been the type of person that had different creative outlets. I still do. I still kind of go through them. But one day I sat down and I was like, that's something that I would really like to do. And I think that I would really enjoy. And I sent off an email, and in a few months I was working on my first bounty with Mike Kimmel. And it's just, you know, continued to evolve from there, working on things, working on my own skills outside of assignments. It's a very welcoming community. The freelancers are, they, whether it's on Discord or the Freelance Forge, is a great tool. They're always building each other up, celebrating each other's victories. And it's not a big come to I met somebody at an in-person con story that a lot of them have, because maybe we'll get to a convention someday. But yeah, an email off into the wind with a little bit of a wisp of a dream. And it's come to fruition. Here we are.
Now, was that when Mike had the had an open call for new authors, or was it after or just before? I have no idea the timing for your thing.
It was a little bit before the open call happened. So it was something that I had been wanting to do for a while, for months. And finally, I sat down and typed out my email, my little pitch stick, I suppose you'd say it, and sent it off, introducing myself, expressing an interest in working in the future, and you know, my love for the systems and what organized play can bring in for somebody that maybe doesn't have a home game like me. I was lucky enough to work on that bounty. It was actually the first bounty that Mike had outlined and developed from conception. So that was pretty neat.
Yeah. Wow. That's cool. So, you know, speaking of org play and writing, how does your volunteer work for organized play kind of help you with your freelance writing?
Oh, gosh. Well, I think it helps the most in terms of those org play specific freelance assignments, right? So you've got like the bounties and the scenario that I did with with Thurston earlier this year in October. Being a volunteer, even being a player and a GM in that space, gets you comfortable and familiar with the type of format, because Paizo's got these standards. They've got a, you know, a history laid out of this is kind of how we want this thing to look. And so volunteering, being a member of the community, really just seeing and knowing and understanding how the pacing and how everything was supposed to line up was the biggest asset.
And what about, have you worked on things not related to org play though? Other freelance writing?
I don't have anything to talk about on that front right now. Maybe one day we'll be able to have a discussion on it. Okay. I will say that in my own writing and my own brainstorming, maybe reaching out to other people in the industry, as much as organized play and you know the scenarios and stuff do have that similar pattern. I have had the opportunity to think outside of their box as well.
Mm-hmm. Neat. So, you know, you've mentioned to me, and I put it in your bio, that you are a musical theater enthusiast. and I've actually talked to several other people that play and that are the same. And I actually like musical theater quite a bit. I did some back in the day. I'm just curious, do you see some sort of connection between musical theater and role-playing games?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm going to expand on that just a little bit as, you know, a choir person just into general arts. And, you know, I was the band nerd, that little percussionist girl, you know, playing the drums, being all weird. I think the biggest connection to start with is the creativity that's involved in all of those hobbies. That's essential for any of them to be successful. I think musical theater and theater in general has this sort of position that you put yourself into, especially if you're an onstage type of person, but even if you're a techie that's working and you get like intimately familiar with the show, you kind of grow this empathy to be able to connect to these characters that are being portrayed on stage and to really connect with the idea of an independent kind of entity other than yourself. And that's huge in role-playing games, right? I think, and I've said this countless times to friends before, one of the great things about the tabletop role-playing community that I've experienced, especially the Paizo community as a whole, that empathy that we take and we put into our characters, our different PCs, there might be a piece of you in every PC, but you're also putting yourself in this position to role-play something that's vastly different from you. Which at the end of the day, I think makes us better people. It gets you in the mindset to be able to think and understand and feel from somebody else's perspective.
Yeah, I like that. I think that's good. So what advice do you have for people interested in either getting involved in online org play or maybe even doing some freelancing of their own?
I think the biggest thing that would go for both of those is to talk to other people in the community, to ask questions. Both of the communities, in my experience, are very open and very welcoming to new members. Whether you're going on a blog or you're going on a Discord, find a space that's open for you to participate in. Play the games that you want to work on. Seriously, it makes it so much easier if you've got some sense of understanding of the system or how things feel. But yeah, I think ultimately participating in the community, asking questions first and foremost, has been the most valuable experience for me. If you don't know something, somebody somewhere does. And especially in the Paizo, if we're specifically talking org play and freelancer community, if they don't know where to find the answer, they'll hit up somebody else that does.
Excellent. So what's next for Nicole? What kind of cool things are you working on that you can actually talk about?
There's not a whole lot that I can actually talk about just yet, but I'll be sure to keep you posted. I think the most exciting thing that I can talk about is just a friendly sit around the table, you know, Pathfinder 2nd edition game. Starting this week, you know, occasional Tuesdays, we've got to sit down. The Bleakest Winter is the name of this campaign that Thurston is going to run for us on Foundry. It's going to be on his Twitch channel, at OnCallGM. It's set in Irisin. We know that so far. So I'm sure there's going to be nothing bad that happens to us up in that cold, frigid land with, you know.
So is this just going to be Thirsty talking about Manitoba then, or is this going to be?
You know, they have been snowed in quite a bit. They've gotten their fair share. I guess I didn't make that connection, but thank you for giving me a little bit more ammo to throw in my let's give Thurston a hard time artillery.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, I've talked to a bunch of folks up there. So I've interviewed Thirsty and Scott and Jessica, who I guess there's two Jessicas up there that are all up that way. And mm-hmm. I actually, when I was, I'm a university professor, I actually interviewed at the University of Manitoba and the University of Alberta up there. So it was very, very cold, even in October. So.
They've got such a talent pool coming out of such a small area. I tell you.
Isn't that crazy?
Scott Young was one of the very first freelancers that I had looked up to. And I got the privilege to tell him that recently. Hi, Scott. Mm-hmm. We love you dearly. that also goes, I mean, Jessica Redicomp, Jessica Catalan, who's now the Pathfinder Second Edition Society developer, which is Starfinder Society.
Yeah, she's Starfinder, yeah.
Yep, we're still working on some coffee this morning.
Yeah.
but she's doing great. I'm super excited to see where she takes that program after inheriting it from Jenny. And Thurston, we know Thurston up in that area. But
yeah, it's just amazing that group and the fact that a lot of them kind of knew each other and stuff, you know, that's kind of neat. Have that. So
there's something, I don't know if it's in the water, if it's in their maple syrup, but they definitely have something up there working for them.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Nicole, thanks so much for being on the podcast today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure to get to sit down and talk to you again. It's been a while since we've had this opportunity.